I found a story about a nurse 20 years ago. She was working out of Spokane, Washington. She was a nurse working on a surgical floor where they did transplants. There was a heart transplant taking place, and she was working in preparation. She was handling the heart that was donated for the surgery, and she accidentally dropped it on the floor. And that was kind of a mistake. So thinking it was contaminated, which it was, she threw it in the trash. And then she falsified some records to try and cover it up. Well, the hospital found out, and they gave her a big fine. And they charged her with inappropriate handling of a human heart. And that phrase stuck out to me. I mean, that's a good metaphor for our life experience. Mishandling of a human heart. And I'm not talking about the muscle that's pumping blood through your body. I'm talking about our faith heart. How are we handling our heart of faith? Do we look at it as much bigger than it really is? Do we think there's nothing there? It's worthless? How do we handle the hearts of other people? This little short story of Jesus asks us today to take a look at the human heart and ask for Jesus' heart to be ours. You've read the story. It looks like we've got two guys and we're going to see who has the better heart, right? You've got the Pharisee in the temple who sometimes we kind of just equate with people who are stuck with the rules and he's caught up in all his holy work in order to make himself look good with God. And then we've got the tax collector who's kind of like a born-again Christian who's willing to repent and is beautifully saved by grace, right? So it's better to have an open heart like the tax collector than a closed, cold heart like the Pharisee. But I want to slow down just a little bit. Let's get to know these two guys a little bit more. Let's not rush to judgment. Have some stereotypes working in our head. First of all, these aren't two real people. Pharisee, tax collector, they're caricatures, right? It's not Elisha and Andrew. They're models. They're kind of poles of hearts. First, we've got the tax collector, right? He's an agent of Rome. He's a traitor. He's someone who's given up on following God's rule to align himself with kind of Roman lifestyle, all right? So he's corrupt, dishonest, overcharging people, doesn't show mercy, probably rich, but doesn't have many friends. I say that because our story says he's standing way away from people in church. Now, maybe he's afraid they'll shun him, or maybe he just doesn't feel worthy to be there. He's far off. And maybe it's fair that he feels isolated because he's in church, which he's been abusing his whole life. The Romans, they take money from the temple. So Jesus' listeners hearing this story would be thinking, who is this tax collector doing in church? You know, how sincere is he? Is he here just to get some forgiveness in his life without changing anything? Like, is he going to still be a tax collector after he's here, keeps living in sin? Or is he going to turn it over to God? I mean, is he for real? Is he really committed? What do you think about this guy? All right, so that's a tax collector. Then you've got the Pharisee. And we've got it in our heads, you know, we've been trained Pharisees, bad guys, think of them with contempt. But in Jesus' day, you hear Pharisee, they'd think, oh, there's somebody who talks the talk and walks the walk. I mean, they're the ones who interpret the Bible to make sense in everybody's life. You know, unlike the priests who were big city, elitist, the Pharisees were, you know, the village, the farm folk, the everyman. Yeah, you think of somebody pious, somebody righteous, somebody trying to do the holy thing. That's who the Pharisees were in Jesus' day. Now, the Pharisee in our story, he fasts more, he tithes more than any person would normally do. Like, he's ultra good. In fact, Pharisees hearing the story are probably laughing, like, this guy's too good to be true, this other holy guy. So you got a real scoundrel, you got a really holy person. Although the Pharisee's prayer, could take some work. You know, it's a little disingenuous, a little mean-spirited. Thank you, God, for not making me as ugly as these other people. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just being grateful. He is dependent on God. Maybe he's reaching back from his heritage. Deuteronomy 26 teaches us to pray, saying, God, thank you for making me great. Thank you for making me the way I am. I've followed your rules. I've done what you've asked me to do. Thank you, Lord. Maybe he's just praying that way. I don't know. Is he praising God or praising himself? What do you think? I don't know. They go to church, right? Not uncommon. Great idea. It's the place to worship. It's the place to find God. It's the place to be reconciled with God. Repair that relationship. That would have rubbed some of Jesus' listeners a little, because now you got to admit this scoundrel tax collector might be within the bounds of God's love. Maybe God's love is big enough for him. That's not too tough for us to swallow. We've heard Jesus' stories before, right? We know Jesus loves outcasts. The tax collector receives grace. The Pharisee, he's shackled by the law. And we leave the story saying, I'm really glad I'm not like the Pharisee, because he's really the bad guy. And that is the trap of this story. Because anytime we negatively judge one person and promote the other, we are just like the Pharisee in the story, saying, I'm glad I'm not like him. That's what Jesus is speaking out against, judging that somehow someone is outside of God's love and power. Sometimes that's us. We judge ourselves. We think we're too small, we're too insignificant, we're too dirty, we're too messed up, we're too sinful. We judge ourselves outside of God's power. Sometimes it's someone else. We look at them and we think, you know, their faith's kind of fake. They're not authentic. Now, they don't worship the same. Obviously, their worship is kind of contained. So maybe, you know, they're not really connected. Jesus would call that mishandling of the heart, judging that heart. Divine grace cannot be limited. Limiting divine grace is to limit God. I find that a bit troubling. Because I love it. I love it when God's grace is huge and catching me and all my mistakes. But when God extends that love to people that I don't really approve of, that makes me uncomfortable. Let's play this out a little bit. I told the story in first service. I want to live it out in this service. It's a kind of an example another leader did at a Christian youth conference. And what he did, and we'll do it right now, is I'm going to make kind of a line of famous people up here on stage, good people and bad people. You get to decide where they are. And the good people to my right over here, and the bad people to my left. All right, so we'll start up. Do we have Mother Teresa here in church today? We do. It's Olivia Sutherland. Come on up, Mother Teresa. All right, so Mother Teresa, where would you be, good or bad? Where do you think you would stand? Anywhere on the stage. You know who Mother Teresa is, right? Okay. All right, let's help her out. Let's help her out. Who would someone be like that for a generation? Because she just died. Saint, took care of the poor, fed the hungry, the sick, was willing. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you that way. I tried to pick somebody really, really. Okay, let's do this right. All right, do we have out there... do we have out there Hitler? Everybody knows who Hitler is. All right. Well, we do. Yes, Mr. Pickle. Come on up. I can pick on him. Well, I mean, some people might be sensitive about that. Mr. Pickle's fine. He'll just beat me up later. All right. I know where you live. I know you do. You do so many good... All right, so you know where to stand? To the left. All right. Who else we got? How about Martin Luther King Jr.? You guys familiar with that name? Do we have a king with us today? Yes. Let's see. Who wants to make a wall? Oh, Michaela. Okay. Yes. Come on up, King. Excellent. All right. So where is King going to stand? While she's going to come up, I'm also going to reach out for Osama bin Laden. Yes. Uh-huh. And that looks like that's probably Lloyd. Lloyd, you look... Yep. Bin Laden, get up here. All right. All right. What about bad and good? You got to make it. All right. And let's see. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who's a good like pop singer? Adele? Oh, that's a tough one. All right. Recommendation, Adele, the singer from right now. Where would she stand on the line? Anybody? Bethany, come on up. Yeah, that's right. Come on up. Where would you stand on the line?
I don't know. Is this kind of fun?
good, bad, kind of, you're feeling it. You're feeling the tension. You're not real, I don't know. Okay? Well, this service is about not judging, so it'll be fine. All right. They're fairly good, probably not quite in the league of Martin Luther King Jr., but all right, now let's, to this kind of wrap it up, let's bring up Jesus. All right. So who, Jesus. Who's a good Jesus today? Probably Delaney. All right. So come on up. Where would Jesus stand? Okay. All right. So Jesus is over with the good. All right. So does this look, does everyone approve of our lineup? I kind of picked the polls. Good, bad. All right. I'm going to read a little scripture here and see if it changes. Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person. Maybe they might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm kind of with Mr. Pickle. I think Jesus would stand probably in the midst of everyone. I think Jesus would be reaching out, celebrating the goodness of these saints, and trying to touch the lives of these broken people as well. Thank you. Everyone give our caricatures here a hand. I'll pray for healing here. Nice. So the question I want to raise is, you know, are you good or are you bad? I mean, who needs redemption? In our story, we've got a Pharisee who's really devout. He does more than he's expected to do in his faith life and law, but he's also a bit self-satisfied and he judges other people. And then you've got the tax collector who, as far as we know, has never done one good thing for his community. And yet he sincerely asked God for help and forgiveness. So who's good? Who's bad? Who needs redemption? There was this guy named Alexander Solzhenitsyn. During the Cold War, he was a Soviet. He went through punishment, repression from the Soviet government. He defected to the U.S. and was welcomed as a hero here. And he gave a stunning speech, and everyone expected him to say all these pro-American things, but he didn't. He actually criticized America for being kind of greedy and superficial and godless. And he wrote, you know, the line separating good and evil doesn't pass through countries, it doesn't pass through classes of people or political parties, but it passes right through every human heart. Meaning there's good and there's bad in each of us. Martin Buber said it's kind of like a pair of pants with two pockets. All right? You reach into one pocket and you got something beautiful. All right? Something great. And you remember the scripture. Lord God, we are made just a little lower than angels. We are created for the sake of God's universe and God's plan. We are good people. We are beautiful people. We are strong people. And then you reach into the other pocket of your life and you got a rock and you remember the dust we will return, right? Who are we that God would even be mindful of us, little people, broken people, sinful people? You know, we all are saints in some ways, but we're all sinners. And human sinfulness has been so pervasive, so persistent, that God had to send two testaments full of prophets to try and get us back on track, and still that wasn't enough. To try and show us the way of right life, to reach us in our capacity of sin, our continual walking away in wickedness, the ultimate gift came in the grace of our Lord, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. The truth of us is we have a little Pharisee, a little tax collector in each of us. And we owe God our very best in the Christian walk. We owe God our very best efforts, our undivided loyalty, but also our dependence. that we won't survive without it. I discovered this little twist in the story. I've never read it this way or heard it interpreted this way. There's a word in this short story, a Greek word, spelled P-A-R-A, para, and in most times we interpret it as meaning rather than. So the story ends, the tax collector went home, justified, saved, rather than the Pharisee. But that Greek word, para, is used in other English words we have, like parallel, paradox, parable. And in those words, it usually means to stand alongside of, running with. And I thought, well, that's a weird, interesting way to read this story. The tax collector went home justified, standing along with the Pharisee. Now, maybe that interpretation makes you mad. You don't want the Pharisee to go home saved. Now, he was arrogant, you know? He didn't trust the Lord. But there we go again, trying to judge who's in, who's out. It's an issue for me. Maybe it's an issue for you. You know, people need to start behaving a certain way, dressing a certain way, talking a certain way, believing in a right way until they can enter my life or enter God's community. I've been doing it right, they've been doing it wrong. They need to change. I think that's what God and Jesus Christ is speaking out against. I remember this kid from a previous church I was serving at. Good kid, bad kid, the answer would be yes. We had great conversations. He dropped out of school. He got in with wrong friends. Was really kind of lazy, not driven. But he found a home in our church. He didn't really have parents. He was kind of a wanderer, stayed with different people. But he found a home in church through the youth ministry. And he met a buddy there, and he learned how to play bass guitar. So he started playing in the praise band. And the whole church, great people, you know, faithful, devout people, people I loved, saw this transformation in his life. I mean, praise God, he was coming to know Jesus. And they would congratulate him and celebrate this change in his life by saying things like, now when he's playing bass guitar, why is he wearing his hat like that? And his jeans are all ripped up. And why is he acting like that? He's always kind of slouching. He's unreliable and not on time. If you're going to lead and be a Christian follower, you're going to need to do better and change. Now, is the church good or bad? Wrong or right? Well, I've been preaching, do not judge. God celebrates our good deeds, and God rejoices in our faith, and God loves our worship, but God despises our judgment. That mishandling of the heart. Why don't we just celebrate when grace takes work? You know, celebrate a life, even if it looks different than ours, celebrate that it's being changed. Will you join me in handling hearts with more humility? Join me in praying for lives to be turned around by God's love. Join me in reaching out with love to the ones that Jesus would have loved. Now, maybe today you are feeling like one of the small-hearted people, one of the broken people. And the church is still a place for reconciliation. So that's good news. If God only loved high moral standards and mistake-proof lives, then you might as well put all of us in front of the shooting line because we're all going down. But he treats us as righteous because of the ransom paid by Jesus. So don't be fooled. Your life matters to the Lord. But you got to put that salvation to work. We can't just use the altar steps to come clean and then jump back into a muddy life. That would be mishandling the heart. So are we good? Are we bad? Are we wrong? Are we right? You know, we all need Jesus. We all need turning. We all need that love that we don't deserve. I'll close with this. You know, as sinners, we may not be able to change the world, but maybe as saints, we can change our communities. As sinners, we may not be able to rectify our communities, but maybe as saints, we can change our home. As sinners, we may not have a great effect on our home, but maybe as a saint, we can change our own heart. As sinners, we may not be able to change our heart on our own, but as saints, we can trust in the grace of God who changes us and changes our world.